morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in the world, and welcome to page 7 of the Hot Stage Diaries. I'm your host, Kurt Franklin, and we're here yet again from the warehouse in our undisclosed location here in Silicon Valley, where we are almost through building the InteropNet, and we're now well into the process of putting together the SDN lab. Now, these are both important pieces of networking that go on at Interop, but they serve different purposes. Talk about that in just a minute, but first I want to remind everyone that the Hot Stage Diaries are part of Interop Radio. Interop Radio is part of Interop Las Vegas. Interop Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, will come your way April 27th through May 1st, 2015, at the beautiful Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. For more information or to register for Interop, please go to www.interop.com and don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you sign up. You'll be able to save big dollars on your full conference registration when you do so. Well, now, I mentioned that the InteropNet and SDN Labs are different. To be, it's more honest to say that SDN Lab is a small part of the total InteropNet. Now, the difference is, of course, that InteropNet is something that everyone depends on. The attendees, the show staff, the people who are lecturing and giving presentations in the conference, and of course the vendors out on the expo floor, all use the InteropNet to get to the outside world and to communicate one to another, and they depend on it really being rock solid in terms of reliability and performance. The SDN lab is, as we've said, a lab, which means that experiments take place, which means that you can't really count on it being up all the time, and it doesn't need to be, because it can be a place where we're demonstrating bleeding edge technology, things that might or might not work in the real world. It's hard to say when you're working in a lab. Nonetheless, both of them have to be put together, both have to be ready to go at Interop, and each one has its own team to work with. Now, there are many companies and many of our team members who are working on both. We'll be talking with them in a bit. I'll also be joined by a special guest here live in the studio. But first, you know, I've been doing this whole series of introductions of the team members. I want to introduce another team member to you right now, Stefano Gradelli. And he's going to be here a couple of times during this episode, but, well, let me let him tell you who he is.
My name is Stefano Gradelli, and I'm the co-founder and CEO of NetBees. As a co-founder of NetBees, I work as business development and product management on the product. So NetBees is supporting InteropNet by providing network monitoring by the user perspective. So what we will do, we measure the performance of the network as a client by installing our monitoring agents. And we will monitor not only the wired infrastructure, but also the wireless network. Yes, it's our first time and has been really great to be part of the InteropNet, and we learned so much in just 2 weeks of Hot Stage. So, yeah. Well, the first big surprise that we had is that we could really work with other vendors and work together into delivering a state-of-art enterprise network. So that was really great because we work with many skilled engineers and great companies. So that was really surprising. And second, I really enjoyed the design and implementation phase of the InteropNet. And overall, I think it's really great to learn more about the engineers and the team that lead this project, which is really intense and challenging, but you can see how skilled and expert they are in doing this work.
Skilled and expert in doing the work. I think that describes pretty much everyone here at the InteropNet. And, well, to continue that, we do have someone else with a lot of skill and expertise here joining us in the studio. We've got my buddy Brian Chi. Brian and I have been partners in crime for some time now, and he is a critical part of the InteropNet. Brian, welcome to the Hot Stage Diaries. The technical difficulties don't just hit the network. That was me forgetting to flip a switch. Brian, let's try it one more time. Welcome to the Hot Stage Diaries.
Thank you, Curtis. Love to be here. I just finished washing paint off my hands. We get to do all kinds of things, including paint numbers on boxes.
Now, okay, I assume that the numbers that you're painting on boxes are things that let us figure out what's in which box once we get to Las Vegas.
You bet. One of the new things we're doing is we're working with some custom-made cables. They're actually armored fiber optic cables from Corning Corporation, and they're terminated in what are called MPOs. Basically, it's a ribbonized cable that when you plug it in on a quick disconnect connector, it will actually terminate 12 strands of fibers in one click, and it's one of the secrets that we have of being able to deploy the InteropNet so quickly.
Now, among its other great technical qualities, that's also the cable that makes a sound akin to that of a dying whale when it's being pulled off the spool, isn't it?
You bet. We were trying to re-spool everything, get them nicely labeled, get them rewound correctly so that when the electricians go and start running the cables up in the air on the lifts, the cable doesn't snag and so forth. So there's unfortunately both low-tech and high-tech involved in the InteropNet. And some of us that have been doing, this is actually my 20th year of working on the InteropNet.
Wow, congratulations.
And so there's grunt work, and then there's design work, and everything in between.
It's funny because I'm sitting here where I sit at my end of the desk here in the warehouse, and I'm looking at this two-stack row of crates, each of which has one of these big, mostly 300-meter pulls of that armored cable in it. There's a bunch of that stuff that's getting ready to head out to Las Vegas.
You bet. So these cables are the backbone. They'll actually go from the distribution racks out on the show floor, and they'll daisy chain and patch through each rack. So under normal circumstances, you would run maybe one or two cables. In our case, we run quite a few. We run a primary and a secondary 10 gig backbone. We also run a flat network. It's actually very old-fashioned. It's just straight switches. We call this access ether. It is out-of-band management, which is also very important because, say, something nasty happens. Like, let's go back in history a little bit to the slammer worm. When Slammer hit the InteropNet, all the in-band management just froze up on us. But because we had out-of-band, we were able to get to the router interfaces, the serial interfaces, and things like that, and to apply filters very, very quickly. So if I remember right, Slammer only caused us about 20 minutes of grief, and then we were already starting to apply access control lists upstream from us.
And that's one of those things where out-of-band management, I remember being a fairly big deal and new way of doing things, call it a decade and a half ago, but the InteropNet was really one of the first major networks to make use of that out-of-band management, wasn't it?
Well, I'm not sure it was the first, but it was definitely very, very early. I actually learned it while working as a green volunteer back in 1995 on the Vegas show. And I took that back to my job, and I've actually implemented out-of-band management systems for some fairly interesting three-letter agencies within the federal government.
Ooh, well, at least we can take some comfort in knowing that some three-letter agencies have networks that approach reliability. That's a good thing. It's interesting that you mentioned how long you've been doing the network. I had a chance to talk with another volunteer who has been doing the network a long, working with the network a long time. Let's let him introduce himself. Then we'll be back with Brian Chee and a little bit more about InteropNet and HotStage. But first, let's allow Chris Stratman to introduce himself to you.
My name is Chris Stratman. I am a freelance consultant that works mostly in the event industry. I am kind of co-SDN team lead. We're working with the vendors participating in the SDN lab to come up with both education, demonstrations, for the attendees to basically learn more about software-defined networking. We're also encouraging the vendors to make it a live lab so that, you know, we're going to try things. Some things may not work because we're coming up and trying with them off the cuff. So there will be some canned demos, but hopefully a number of, you know, real live, hey, let's try this, see if it works. Since 1994, and wow. I have done everything from serial consoles to systems, DNS, routing, the early InteropNet labs, kind of as directed, you know, whatever needed to be done. There are definitely friendships that have been forged in fire, so to speak. You know, you do the all-nighters with some folks, and you have something that goes wrong, and you wind up, you know, basically killing yourselves to get the show off the ground. You definitely develop some long-term friendships from that. The other thing is, it's been a phenomenal learning experience with the backgrounds and the knowledge of the people that have participated in the show over the years. I would not know near about networking if I hadn't been participating. I mean, it's I can't even put in words the amount I've learned from working around the folks involved in the InteropNet.
You know, Chris had trouble putting into words just how much he's learned from being around the InteropNet. I have to say that even though my relationship with InteropNet has been an odd one, since I've tended to be the journalist covering it rather than an engineer working on it, I have learned a tremendous amount just being in the Network Operations Center, talking to people. It's almost impossible to be part of this operation and not learn a great deal. It seems like no matter what you're talking about in the networking world, there's going to be someone here who knows pretty much all about it. Now, getting back, my guest in studio is Brian Chee. Brian, you've been to, as you said, about 20 of these things. From your perspective, how does this year's HotStage compare? Does it seem to be going kind of smoothly, or does it seem to be a trouble-filled, dangerous kind of HotStage? How's it going?
Well, every HotStage is unique. It's hard to compare because the one thing that's very unique about the InteropNet is every single year we are doing a greenfield installation, which has actually become quite rare in the industry. So we get to, you know, design from scratch, highlight emerging technologies. We've actually been using SDN in a production environment for a couple of years, and more the vendors have really gotten it. You know, they're taking advantage of the marketing opportunity that is the InteropNet. They're taking advantage of being able to test out their equipment, test out their software, and just being able to work shoulder to shoulder with some of the best and brightest in the industry means you can bounce ideas off them. It is neutral territory. It is where competitors sometimes are learning from each other. And at the very least, it's an amazing, amazing community of knowledge. The InteropNet crew has been involved in actually setting the standards for the Internet in forms of RFCs, right down to our Norwegian contingent that actually was involved with IP over avian carrier, which is, sounds odd, but it's a great demonstration that TCP/IP can exist even on something like a carrier pigeon.
Gotta love the idea of the TCP/IP carrier pigeons. I'm not even going to ask what kind of bird you have to get IPv6 compatibility, but I will ask this question. You know, we're talking about learning stuff. What kind of things are you finding that you're talking to people and learning this year? Is there anything new that you're running across this year, either in terms of technology or practice or product that's going to be part of the InteropNet?
Well, I have kind of a unique day job. I have to integrate in emerging IT technologies into underwater observatories, shoreline observatories, volcanic observatories, and so forth within all the ocean and earth sciences. So I get to learn about the emerging technologies. I'm taking a lot of the stuff that I learned. We're actually using PATH solutions to monitor our underwater network so that we can watch the performance and predict if we're going to have problems. Because trust me, service calls 3 miles underwater is a challenge.
Yeah, those 3 mile underwater service calls, you know, it takes a lot to pop back up and grab something from Starbucks when you're 3 miles underwater.
You bet.
Well, one of the things that's in the network this year that we're hoping will reduce the need for those emergency calls are the products from NetBees. Now, I had the folks from NetBees on an earlier episode of InterOp Radio. They were on about 3 weeks ago, and we talked about who they were and what their products were. Of course, Stefano is here putting the NetBees products into place in the InteropNet and the software-defined network, or SDN, labs. But I wanted to get a little bit more from him about exactly what's going on and how they're integrating into the entire network and the process. So after I had the conversation with him where he introduced himself, I had a chance to talk with him a bit more about NetBees and what they're doing here in the lab. Let me share that with you. This is Stefano Gridelli back again talking with me about NetBees and the InteropNet. I want to welcome Stefano Gridelli of NetBees to InteROp Radio. Stefano, welcome.
Thank you, Curtis. It's great to be here.
Stefano, we've had you and NetBees as a guest on InteROp Radio in the past, but could you remind our listeners briefly what it is that NetBees does on a network?
NetBees monitors the network from the user perspective, so we make sure via monitoring agents that users have connectivity and good performance to applications.
Well, I assume that that's precisely what you're doing for InteropNet. You're doing the monitoring, and after a week of HotStage, how has the setup been going? Are you finding that the integration of NetBees into InteropNet has been smooth, or have you run into some challenges?
Yeah, I would say that overall the installation was fairly quick and simple. Of course, there were some dependencies that had to be taken care of before we could successfully fully deploy the solution, such as DHCP, for example. But overall, the solution is really simple. We just plug the agent at the access layer, and we also put some gigabit probes on the core and distribution part of the infrastructure. So we're basically ready to go.
Oh, outstanding. Now, one of the things that's true about InteropNet, while we're at InteropNet, there will be thousands and thousands of users on the network, but here in the warehouse, there are just a handful of engineers who are actually using the network. even in the absence of real users, have you been able to provide useful information to the engineers, or are the NetBees units basically just sitting there hanging out until time for interop to start?
Actually, no. We already can provide a network connectivity and application performance information. And that's actually the beauty, because even without users, we can already measure and assess if the network is working fine. So that's really great because, for example, when you do configuration changes at evening, you can detect problems before the users connect. So likewise here, same situation on top of the engineers that are using the network, there are also the bees, the agents, that are the first users of the network.
Well, we've been here for a little over a week, and the InteropNet itself is already pretty well set up and ready to go, so we've moved into the SDN lab portion of the setup. Are you doing the same thing for the SDN labs that you're doing for InteropNet, or does your mission change over at the labs?
So we're doing really similar thing on the SDN labs. So there are basically smaller instances of NetBees with a lower number of agents. For example, at InteropNet, we have 26 to 30 agents more or less deployed. On the SDN labs, they're basically proof of concept environments, really small scale with one rack. So we have 2 to 4 agents doing very similar things, right? But in the SDN lab. So what we want to show with NetBees is how what is the end-user experience as delivered by these SDN providers.
With the lab environment, you know, as the name implies, that's SDN, software-defined networking. From the NetBees perspective, is there any difference in a network that is built on an SDN architecture versus one that's built on a more traditional networking architecture?
Well, there are definitely differences. SDN is there is a controller basically that auto-provision network services and other components of the infrastructure. At the end, the result for the end user is the same, but of course it's increase in manageability of an infrastructure and routing and performance based on the application. So again, the end result is the same, but the difference is really much ease of use and configuration of the for the infrastructure itself.
All right. Once we finish this week, we'll be roughly 3 weeks from getting into Las Vegas. What are your expectations for the experience at Las Vegas? Will you be basically just sitting there monitoring your part of the network? What sorts of things will you be doing in Las Vegas?
I'm sure in Las Vegas we'll be very busy. We have our pod small booth in the new Innovators Pavilion. The number is 2344, as well as we'll have presence at the InteropNet NOC, Network Operations Center, providing how NetBees is supporting the network, so to give a real use case, a real deployment to the attendees. And we will be also having sessions, information sessions and classes on where we are showing not only how InteropNet works, but also how NetBees is helping the network to run and to assess performance.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to having a chance to talk with you again in Las Vegas. We appreciate you being here with us in the middle of the warehouse here at HotStage. And real quickly now, if our listeners want to follow what NetBees is doing, what you're doing online, where can they find you on Twitter or blogs or any other place? How do they find you?
Yeah, so they can find us on the website, netbees.net, or our Twitter handle is at NetBees, and I spell NetBees, perhaps it might be N-E-T-B-E-E-Z, and we have also a blog post, a blog site on netbees.net/blog.
All right, and I'll also remind everybody that you also have an article that, if it's not already up, will be up very soon on Information Week on the Interop tab, so we'll look forward to that.
Yeah, that's correct. I gave some more information about the setup here at InteropNet of the network infrastructure and how we're using NetBeans to monitor the experience.
We'll look forward to reading that.
Great.
Stefano, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me here, Curtis. It was great.
It was my interview with Stefano Gradelli of NetBeans. We're glad to have him with us. We'll be talking with him again from Las Vegas, as we will with many of our participants. We're here right now with InteropNet volunteer Brian Chi. Brian, NetBeans for me, this is the first chance I've had to really look at it. Is it something that you were familiar with before we got to InteropNet?
No, this is actually my first introduction to their product. There have certainly been efforts within the university to create remote probes, but this is a very nice, polished remote probe system that, you know, I'm thinking I might go and put a few of them underwater.
Yeah, I know that you've often seen people sort of doing the roll-your-own approach, but if you're trying to do a bunch of those, it becomes very time-consuming to go out and build your own small computer for everyone you want to put in place. It's nice to have a prepackaged product.
Yeah. Well, the build your own small computer, that's not hard anymore. What's hard is all the integration. Having the management software, having the database to collect the data, having the ability to go and confirm the accuracy, that takes a lot of time and effort. And truth be told, my time's a little more valuable than that. And I'd like to have something that's polished, ready, and you know, if something goes wrong, I want to point a finger.
You know, it's interesting how often you hear someone make that final point as being a key consideration in why they are buying something rather than building it. I mean, you can learn a lot from building, and even if they have the time and energy and knowledge to build it, the idea that they can turn around and point a finger and say, I want someone else to fix it, has, it seems, an almost incalculable advantage when it comes to products that are actually supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Very definitely.
Well, we're here on Tuesday of the second week of Hot Stage. Realistically, there are about 2.5 days left. What do you think we'll be doing for most of the rest of Hot Stage? I know InteropNet itself is pretty much baked by now. The SDN lab's coming together. So what kind of activities do you see for the next couple of days?
Well, a lot of it's going to be cleaning up and making the racks pretty and documenting and collecting the pieces that we know that have to go. We actually have to pack a lot of spares, a lot of cables and everything. We've got to make sure we have enough to be able to deploy the network. In addition, we've got some brand new crates, so I'm going to be getting dirty and painting numbers on the sides of the crates. And basically, it's now time to make sure we pack everything we need, because some of the gear we use, we just can't go down to the corner store and buy.
Now, that's very true. There's a lot that's part of the InteropNet that you're not going to find on the shelf at your local Fry's. That's for sure. And you know, it's interesting. One of the things that Brian's been talking about is something that I've noticed here. Brian is an acknowledged expert in networking. People around the industry know him. And trust me, if you wanted to buy his time, it's not something that you're going to get for pocket change. He very justifiably charges for his time. And yet, here as part of the InteropNet team, he's been painting numbers on boxes. I saw someone yesterday, the chief system architect for one of the very large system integration companies, was sitting here racking servers and putting the bolts into the server rails. There's remarkably little ego, it seems to me, in what goes on here. People are willing to pitch in and do what has to be done to make the network happen.
This, I also call this my annual dose of humble pie. You know, no matter how big a fish you are and whatever size pond you live in, there are some people that literally have created the new technology. I've worked with people that literally wrote the very first gigabit Ethernet drivers. I work regularly with the man that invented IPTV. Every single major flavor of multicast had its origins in the InteropNet. We actually did a quick survey, and the InterOp team has been involved with the vast majority of the Internet standards called RFCs. So it's a heady group of people combined with product managers, head engineers. We've got some CEOs working on it. And if the floor needs to be swept, someone will pick up a broom and sweep the floor.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of people describe working on the InteropNet, and especially Hot Seat, as being sort of a summer camp for network geeks. And it's a nice reminder that for most of the people who currently are executives in and around the networking industry, they started out as hands-on geeky folks. You know, they like getting their hands dirty. They like actually getting down and configuring devices and even, you know, plugging in cables. Those parts of the very basic operation still turn them on. And for a lot of them in their day job, their time is just too valuable to let them do that. So it's kind of nice for them, I think, to be able to step back and remind themselves of why they got into the business.
You bet. And I know this is a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, but at the same time, I get to concentrate on my industry, improve myself, make human contact, you know, work with the human network in addition to the computer networks. And I always have this saying, I tell all my students, the very best engineers aren't the ones that know it all. They're the ones that know who to call.
No question about that. Well, Brian, I think it's about time to let you get back to your stencils and paints and let me get back to taking some more photos and getting ready to put out some more words about the Hot Stage. But I want to thank you for being my guest today here in our glamorous studio at one end of the long white table in the warehouse for Hot Stage.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for listening. You know, one of the things we say every episode is we couldn't and wouldn't do this without you. Now, I do want to remind you that InteropNet Radio is the online audio component of InteropNet. InteropNet Las Vegas, connecting the IT community, comes your way April 27th through May 1st, 2015, from the glamorous Mandalay Bay Convention Center in beautiful, scenic Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, for more information on InteropNet and to register, go to www.interop.com and be sure to use the promo code RADIO when you register. That'll get you a nice discount on your full conference registration fee. Well, we'll be back here tomorrow at this time. That's 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern, with page 8 of the Hot Stage Diaries. There's also going to be plenty more on the social networks. Be sure to follow me at KG4GWA on Twitter. And head on over to Information Week. We've got coverage from Hot Stage there as well. We'd love to have your comments, take your questions on all of it. Well, for Brian Chi, Stefano Gridelli, Chris Stadman, everyone here at InteropNet Radio Hot Stage Diaries, I'm your host, Kurt Franklin, saying thanks so very much for listening. Hey, we'll see you back here tomorrow.